You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
What's up, everybody? How's everyone doing? Welcome to the Mad Tea Party, where we are going to be doing all things mad and having a good time. Oh, Mr. Cheshire Copperpot is here and made it. Hey. Made it just in time for introductions. David, how are you doing tonight, man?
Welcome, David. I just got here, so I'm doing good. Fantastic. Working on some my cosplay costume. Just kind of a little behind schedule, but I'm good. Ready for
you? Mean your cosplay costume for Rogue Comic Con, which the Waltz Apartment Crew is hosting on May 4th in Medford, Oregon.
Yes,
let's do this.
There we go.
All right, there you go, Sean. I got the plug in. Are you happy?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Malice, how are you doing?
I'm great. We just finished recording an episode of Imagine That with Kevin and Amanda and this guy over here, Lewis. But so go check that out. We're glad that Kevin and Amanda are joining us tonight on our Mad Tea Party as guests. So can I just like hop over to them and say, hey, Kevin and Amanda, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. Hey. We're doing well.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us over for your tea party.
We appreciate you joining us for some piping hot tea tonight.
Ooh. Yeah, I got my teacup right here. I'm ready.
Yeah, that was a nice little plug there. Piping hot tea.
Piping hot tea.
I mean, my tea tastes like whiskey, but it's fine.
Oh, whatever you got.
Yeah, it's fine.
And to round out this tea party, we got the king of smarts, Sean. Right. How are you doing, man?
Why does
that make sense? No, that's fine. I'm gonna let it go. That's fine. Whoever typed that, that's all right.
It's okay. Somebody changed my name from the podcast princess to the podcast ogre the other day because they were mad at me. So it's fine.
And it was up there for like 30 minutes before Forever. You noticed.
It's all good. Before I noticed.
I'm doing good, Lewis. I'm just, you know, we just chilling. Just, you know, doing big things. We got some fun topics to talk about. I mean, it's not even our normal week and we're talking about we're doing it this week. So.
We are. I mean, so to give everyone a little inside scoop. So this show is.
You mean the one person watching? Hi, whoever you are.
Wow, there is only one.
Because it's not our typical night.
It's not. I dropped the ball.
People plan their weeks around us.
I dropped the link literally 3 minutes ago. It's completely.
We did not share this out beforehand.
Upside down, topsy turvy, and that is 100%.
That's all right. I'm sending it out. I'm inviting more people right now.
There you go. All the TikTok fishing people are coming in.
Oh, here they come. Here they come.
Here we go.
Fishing
here
people.
We go.
Yep. Little hook and catch kind of mentality there.
Day but, 8 of pictures of me fishing just because.
Oh, man. But to get things going, welcome, Bradley.
Well, hi, Bradley.
Bradley, do you fish? Every time we
two of the four people are Kevin and Amanda that are watching right now. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
We have a new cup already.
We're trying to share it.
Oh, wait,
is it a new cup or is it a new new cast?
Yeah.
So why not? Let's have some fun then. Let's kick it off with a little Cheshire games. We're gonna play a
you
little
know what's kind of fun real quick is first off, Louie, how are you doing? You didn't ask yourself that.
So dude, I'm glad to be sitting down in front of the computer and just enjoying the evening now. Today has been a wild day. This weekend has been crazy. As David is working on cosplay things for Rogue Comic Con, I am wrapping up Rocket's Return, which is my exclusive piece for Rogue Comic Con.
Nice.
And, well, I hate Floor. I mean, she's a great character, but drawing mechanical arms is not my forte. A lot of straight lines, and if you're familiar with my artwork, there's not a whole lot of straight lines in it. So that has been challenging, but I am excited to get this print on the printer, into canvases, and get it into the hands of all the guests that are coming out to Medford, Oregon for Rogue Comic Con on May 4th. So
I love the background that you have going on tonight, too.
Yeah, so let's put a little background about the background. So our theme tonight, we are talking about the shareholders call that happened on April 3rd, last Tuesday. And the conversations in our chat got hot. They got spicy. They got good. And so, therefore, that's why we have the Undisputed Mad Tea Party background right now, because it may be getting a little throwback.
Well, that's a good name.
It was a good name. It was a great era. And I feel like we're going to get a little taste of that tonight. So for the five viewers and two hearts that are watching, we appreciate you. Let's get the blood pumping right now, though. With a little
wait a second. Before you do that, Facebook user says, hi, guys. Facebook user, if you are coming to us from one of our Facebook groups, so the Marvel group or the Disney Insider group or Wolf's Apartment Behind the Lamp, please go ahead and give StreamYard permission to use your name and your picture so we know who we are talking to. Or just tell us and we'll give you love. I'm assuming it's George. If it's George, hi, George.
But hold on. So I did a live stream the other day, and I had a bunch of Facebook users. Who are we to assume that Facebook user is not their name?
So, you know what? Fair. Here's the thing. I joined your live the other day, and I do not know my login, and it wanted me to re-log back in. Like, my phone saves my login for me. I always do this. Where do I find it? It's me, Jen. Jen, if you just go on over to our Walt's Apartment podcast page rather than the group, you'll be able to join that way as yourself. It just happens when you're joining through a group, I think, or a private page. So like when I went to Lewis's page and joined, it was hysterical because I'm the one who gives this speech every week, right? And I could not stop being Facebook user on Lewis's live. Yeah, I kept saying, it's me, it's Sam. He's like giving the speech. He's giving my speech. And I was like, stop it. You're giving my speech and it's not working because I don't know my login. So
we didn't confirm. Is Bradley a fisherman?
I don't know, Bradley.
I think you got to just streamyard.com/Facebook. That's all you got to go to and just say, okay.
Yep.
Then it will know who you are.
Or every time you type something out, just put a little minus sign on your name. There you go.
Or if you want to be, mysterious, don't tell us who the hell you are. That's fine too.
We don't care.
Hey, Bradley is a fish.
He is a fish. Yes, Bradley.
Hey, there we go.
You can see you. Hello, Kim.
We can see you now, Jen. Hello.
Is it Picar or Pichar? How do you say it?
It's Bichar.
Oh, man.
Bichar.
You messed Bichar. It up.
I did.
You don't know Bichar? That very common name. It's like Johnson. Oh.
Congratulations, Bradley's got a girlfriend and he's married.
Wait, you have both, Bradley? Oh,
hey, Brad.
Well, congrats.
Stop it. I see what you did
there. We like to welcome our Utah people here. So there it is.
All right.
If you have not listened to our most recent, if you have not listened to our most recent episode of the Marvel Tribe, if you've not listened to our most recent episode of The Tribe, which is our Marvel show, go and listen to that, and you will hear about
Multiple wives. No one's listened to it because I forgot to put it out.
Smart.
Damn it, Sean. I knew it.
Queen of what now?
I am quite literally done with you.
I don't know if it's the Queen of Hearts or Smarts no more. Hey,
well, I'm just
talking about Spider-Man. Always say damn like Spider-Man as well.
I fucking hate Spider-Man.
So yeah, I got Alabama, Florida, and now Utah on my hit list. So I'm
Racking them up next to me.
I'm not collecting fans and stuff here.
In Australia.
Hey, Sean's back.
I mean, New Zealand sounds great. I could walk the path to Mordor. And Bradley says, go Alabama.
I'm a freaking idiot, man. I can't believe I forgot to do that.
Love it.
Sean, I can't stand you.
Don't be hard on yourself. God, what a piece of shit I am.
This is getting really aggressive, and we haven't even gotten to today's topics yet.
Yeah, pull it
okay,
together.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Not let's talk all. About today's topics because we're okay. About to wild and out. Like,
all right, so,
like Nick Cannon's about to be on the show.
To get a little blood pumping, we got over under just right for our Cheshire game tonight. And these are possible new lands. Now, whether they were rumored, actually said by Disney, fan fiction, I just took top five that I found on the internet, whether they're official or not. So don't eat me up in the comments. Over, under, just right. If you think it's overrated, meaning I don't care, there's too much hype behind nothing. It's underrated, meaning there's a lot of potential. They should really run with this. Why is nobody talking about this? And just right, meaning, hey, if they do it, cool. If they don't, whatever. It's just cool as it is. You guys ready for some?
Let's do it.
All right, let's keep things interesting. The first one on our list is Frozen. Frozen Land. This is not saying that it's coming to Disneyland, but we are just assuming for hysterical purposes, since it's a name that keeps being thrown around, if it was to come to Disneyland Resort or Walt Disney World Resort, is it overrated, underrated, or just right?
Overrated. Sorry, nobody asked me. But exactly, as Bradley said, let it go, let it go. Overrated. I love having a Frozen attraction. I do not think we need an entire Frozen land.
I like that they've already built Frozen lands other places in other countries, so we don't need it here. So
that's right.
We talked about that on other episodes where it's like, hey, you are providing incentives for other people to travel to your different international parks by not having the same damn thing in every single park.
Yep. Keep it special over there.
So we got.
I'm with
three overrateds. David?
Dude, you already know. You without asking me. I mean, I'm getting freezer burn just from this question. It's way overrated. So.
All right.
Sean's shaking his head.
King's I'm here Hearts. For it. I'm here for it.
You would.
I'm here for it. Why not?
Interesting.
Why is it a bad thing? Why is it a dumb thing?
What exactly do you want to see out of a
Frozen land? I'm saying it to be argumentative.
So we just finished recording. Imagine that. Yeah. So Sean, tell me what you would like to see out of a Frozen land. Other than just a singular attraction, what would you like to see out of an entire freaking land?
You could do so much. You could do like a snow like kind of thing with that monster that's like, you know, made out of snow.
The marshmallow.
Yeah, you could do something like that, like some kind of like ride or like a
hey Sean, have you ever rode Maelstrom?
The hell's Maelstrom?
At Epcot.
Is that legal?
Maelstrom is what Frozen Ever After was before it was Frozen Ever After.
Yeah, cool. I think it'd be smart to have one of the biggest IPs that Disney's created in the past like 20 years as a land. Yes. I mean, it's good business. Disney's a business. Disney's a business, right? They want to make money. Snow cones you could sell? You know, if you made that land like 20 degrees colder than all their lands, how cool that would be?
Hey, you made snow cones.
You don't need to make it colder. Florida is hot as hell. They already will sell snow cones if they can keep them cold enough.
I think Frozen during the holiday season is like a theme is cool. A dedicated land? Nah, absolutely not. Let that go.
Yes, I agree with Bill. If the best Disney can do is
there's a fucking shock. I agree with Bill.
Skippy
today. Sorry. So let's go.
I'm telling you, you sell snow cones and you call it Olaf.
We're going to fight. You could sell snow cones in Florida because it's hot as balls and everybody's dying. Yeah, say hi to Bill and be nice to him.
Yeah, I love Bill.
You call the little kids.
You know what? You know what? No. Podcast. You know what, Bill? No, they're not doing that anymore. But you wouldn't have me here on every freaking show in this network, essentially.
There will always be an Airbnb podcast. I agree with you. And I'm eternally grateful for that.
I'm eternally grateful to
Bill and Barry for so much, and they know that. I love those guys.
Where did that come from on the topic, though?
That went south super fast.
He was just not nice to Bill, and I said,
I was nice to you. I said, there's fucking shock. You agree with Bill. Yeah.
And you took
if it. You were not okay. So
Kevin. All right, so let's go.
What's more funny is Kevin sitting here on the show and commenting in the chat. So I mean,
to be fair,
our next one.
Wait, can I explain this to people who do not aware? This show is probably the most fair.
Oh man! Wow. All right,
back to what I was saying was this is not our typical every Wednesday night show. Wednesday nights we go live. We do the news without as many curse words.
Well, and Sam says it again. It's the Indiana Wi-Fi. Hey, Sam.
I can hear us.
Drop in your AOL CD.
Dial down the center 1-800-CAL.
She'll reconnect with us.
I don't even know if I'm actually like connected or not. Y'all are like playing with me like this. It does happen.
Hey, we really mess with her. All of us just stop. Just don't move.
No, people do that to me on a TikTok live the other day.
Do the mannequin challenge real quick, right?
I went downstairs to grab my guitar and I came back and I was like talking and everybody on my TikTok live was frozen.
Why the hell do you have a guitar right there? Play something right now.
That's Indiana Swift.
Play something. Play something right now.
Get her done.
Play something right now. Here you go. The screen is yours.
Oh, hey, we're waiting for you.
That's from that Beyonce country you listen to.
Absolutely not.
It's Indiana.
I will learn a song for next week. But Bill says everyone is welcome.
Absolutely. So,
okay,
here we go.
Frozenland, yes.
Next land that's been talked about, rumored, Wakanda.
100%. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wakanda forever.
Not even a doubt.
We could use that, yeah.
I want it more than I want any of the other proposed lands.
Please do it right. Please do it justice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do
it? Could you imagine what they could actually do with that? I mean,
Disney Tech and the Imagineers. Yes, unleash the Imagineers and let them do Wakanda Land.
I saw a video that if Disneyland Forward passes, they're going to have in their pocket the ability to build things up to 300 feet high.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right now I think the max is 200 feet, but yeah, your boy Bricky put out a video saying that if Disneyland Forward passes, they will have the ability. That doesn't mean they have to, but they'll have the ability or the I'm kind of trying to think of the word, the permission to build something 300 feet high. Put that in perspective. The castle's 75 feet tall, and the Matterhorn's like 150 feet tall.
They'll still have to put the little blinker at the top, though, right?
100%.
For airline regulations, yeah.
Well, I find it hard to believe because you go on Walnut Street, is it called? And like they have those gigantic trees blocking the parking structure to keep that obstructed view. So, I mean, 300 feet is.
Is there anything in Anaheim that's 30 stories tall?
I don't think so. That's the point. I mean, they don't have to do it.
Bob Iger's ego.
Wait, what?
I said Bob Iger's ego.
Wow. Okay.
Bill, I might say yes to everything. Let's just see what else we got. I'm sorry. Who else needs to answer?
Did Amanda answer for Wakanda?
Oh, I think we're all in agreement. Like, let's go. We yeah.
Build it would already.
Be amazing. I agree with David that it needs to be done right. But there is so much potential there. I totally agree. Let the Imagineers run wild.
100%.
Be fantastic.
I'm going to say it's just right.
All right,
Louis. The only reason being is because we already have Avengers Campus. Like, I just feel like really build off of that some more. I mean, you have Shuri has it who... In the end of the first one, she has, like, I forgot what the exact calling of it is, where the labs of teaching that, so that. So I just feel like doing Wakanda on its own just feels weird.
All right, what's the next topic?
I do understand that, like, they need to do something with that ride. They don't have any ticket attraction.
Who doesn't?
Build something there.
Who doesn't have an e-ticket? Avengers Campus?
Yeah,
that building.
They have the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy's e-ticket. No,
they have the building for the ride. They just haven't put it in yet.
Where the Quinjet is.
Right.
Like, they need to do something with that first.
Yeah.
I really think playing off the title of Campus and Shuri having that distance, like the end of the first one where it's like, hey, you're going to teach our technology and stuff like that. I think that'd be a really cool way to branch Wakanda into the Avengers Campus being a campus.
No, Wakanda's a whole different animal and stuff. It really is. It needs its own space.
Yeah,
I agree with both of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it coming. If it comes, I'm absolutely down for it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm saying just right, because I can't say it's overrated or underrated. I'm right there in the middle.
Hey, what do you got next?
Next one. Zootopia.
I mean, back to what we said about Frozen, right? It already exists in Shanghai. Do we need it here?
It's looking amazing, so.
But
give people reasons to travel to your international parks.
They're going to go anyway.
I think it would make more sense in Florida than California, at least, because of the Shanghai distance.
They've already tried an approach similar to Animal Kingdom in Animal Kingdom. Like, it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
No. Yeah, I agree.
Overrated.
I do want to see the sloth from the DMV.
That'd be cool.
Roaming around Disneyland here. So,
all right. So next one, and this one I don't think has been anywhere announced from Disney, but it has been shared all over. Actually, no, I think it was at one point. A Villain's Land.
Yes. Yeah, 1,010% underrated.
It's supposed to be behind Big Thunder.
Oh, interesting.
Give us the fifth gate and let's do it.
I doubt that, but it could be in Magic Kingdom.
Kevin?
What happened?
Oh, she can imagine here.
This is the Matt Tea Party. I'm allowed to say that.
This
isn't Imagine That, so he doesn't have to approve of my blue sky Imagineering concepts. Whatever.
Yeah, her ideas are terrible everywhere. Good point. It's good.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so next time I agree with your kitchen cabaret.
Oh, damn.
I mean, so.
Oh, everyone's gone. Hey, guys.
I didn't say anything. I punched him in the arm for you.
Thank you. Well, he needs to go back to his own camera so I can tell him to get lost.
Right. That's why I came over here, because I knew that you couldn't do that to me. I'm here for protection. Right.
Anyway.
Is this our new punishment tool? We just kick each other off the stage?
I've been doing this for a year. Where have you been?
The first time I got kicked out, though, and I didn't even say anything, so I don't have.
But it wasn't for you, Amanda. It was for Kevin.
Way to go, Sam! Now Amanda doesn't feel comfortable. Thank you, Sam.
I'm gonna say no.
No.
No to what? Villains Land.
Villains Land.
The options are overrated, underrated, or just right.
Overrated.
Overrated.
It's not a yes or no.
Overrated.
Overrated.
Why overrated?
Explain.
No idea. There's a bunch of villains running around. Stupid.
Oh, sounds awesome. Yeah.
That sounds pretty
good. Hold on.
I agree with Kevin. It actually sounds kind of cool.
You said Dual Land for Disney's most profitable, franchise, but yet you got to do a Villains Land for an event that sells out within minutes every year for Oogie Boogie's Bash.
All those damn events sell out. Come on.
That's not true.
Star Wars is still available almost every single night.
They've sold out one night of their 50 nights they have this year.
Oh my god.
I'm exaggerating, but still.
Yeah, I think there's like 9 nights and only
a dumb idea. Villains Land.
What?
I mean, as long as you do it right, if you have like, you know, the buildings in there for each of the villains and you have like a ride or two that make a lot of sense.
It's like a horror Toontown. That's all it would be.
That sounds even better than what I was picturing.
What are you most scared of that you don't want to run into?
I'm not scared of anything.
Wally.
Fucking Wally. Dumbest thing ever.
Stop it. You're hurting your heart.
Okay, we're about to get the fire going with this last one. Avatar Land.
Fuck that shit.
Is. There it is.
David, we already have one. We already have one.
The deal.
Again, this goes back to the fact that we already have one. Give
Go ahead, David. Kick me off the table.
Travel to your other parks. Like Pandora Land in Walt Disney World is absolutely stunning. It is done so well. They have themed food. They have themed merchandise. They have multiple attractions. You do not need it on both coasts. Give people a reason to travel to your other parks.
I'll do you one better. You don't need it on any coast.
David, you don't need it, period. Okay. Listen, the last movie absolutely was a piece of garbage. I'm not going to disagree with that. The second movie wasn't needed. The first movie I thought was great.
Which first movie?
Two or three?
You thought Fern Gully was great? Because I do agree with Fern Gully was great.
Oh, my God, David.
It was really good. It was.
So, you guys ready for a word from our sponsor before we get
No, I want to give my answer.
Oh, give your answer. Sorry, I thought you said no already.
So, no, here's the deal. Me and Louie talked the other day, and so I listened to Danny and Mondo on Danny's podcast, the 5571. And they talked about this. And when they made the announcement and they showed the picture last week of what this land could look like, I'm not an Avatar fan. But if they can do 80% of what that picture looks like, I'm here for it. Because I think it looks badass. I'm not going to lie. And the ideas they had of, like, you know, it looked like a water attraction. And if that attraction has the ride mechanism that Shanghai Pirates has, that's Imagineering, and that's what y'all are bitching about and saying there's not enough of lately. That picture shows there's so much Imagineering coming. And even though I don't like Avatar, I think I would like that. If it looks like that, even close to how that land looked in that picture, I'm here for it. Will I go on the rides? Yeah.
You're asking a lot, though, trying to trust the picture.
I mean, completely agree. That's why I'm saying if it looks like that picture.
I agree with Sean here. Honestly,
where are you going to put something that big and anywhere in Disneyland?
I got to say, Sean made a pretty convincing argument, but I still say
that. But no, I don't think we need it. If you're going to build it, though, you better really put in the work
that's what I'm saying.
We were just talking about it. Imagine That. A lot of credit to Imagine That tonight. Obviously, everyone knows my sad soapbox about Splash Mountain changing, but I don't think Tiana's was a bad move. I like the movie. The animatronics have killed it, but what would have been in that chef's kiss for that ride is that boat that would have been on top of the mountain. That, if you want to talk about weenies in the park, that would have been sick. And guess what?
What'd you say?
You got to listen to Imagine That to understand what
we need or weenies?
Weenies.
Visual weenies.
A Walt Disney term.
Listen to Imagine That. It's a Walt Disney term.
Weenies?
It is. Yeah. No, a visual weenie is something that draws you to the next attraction or the next park.
It's a visual in the 50s. It was a thing, so it's okay. Right.
No, I'm good.
Like I said, if it looks like that picture, I'm still not a fan of Avatar, but I would probably stand there in awe of that if it looked anything like that picture.
What I like about that picture is that it's different than the one over in Florida.
Yeah. I didn't like the way Guardians looked when I first saw them. I'm like, what the hell they do to the Tower of Terror?
When I stood there in front of that,
I'm like, holy shit, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. It's different in person. So that's my opinion on that. So,
but like you said in your opening question, and to quote Pain and Panic, if.
Absolutely. If it's good. Yeah. A lot of it in the world.
Ooh. And with that, before we get into our next segment, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Which one?
Where in the park Seek and Find Image Scavenger Hunt games will have you exploring theme parks like never before. But this is not like your childhood scavenger hunts. There are no word-based lists of items to find or a binder of riddles, trivia, math, or counting. Our games contain cards with images of details that can be found throughout the park just by walking around. You can play on your own schedule, so you don't have to worry about long lines, height requirements, or health concerns. Need help finding an image? we've got you covered, with hints and answers on each card so you're never left wondering where in the park the image can be found. Use the Scan Before Playing card to reveal an alternate image if one of the cards in your pack is currently hidden or removed from the park. Order today to get game packs for your next visits to the Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World theme parks. But the fun doesn't stop there. We also have games for Universal Studios in Hollywood and Florida, Knott's Berry Farm, Six Flags, SeaWorld, and more. Ready to experience your favorite theme parks in a whole new way? Go to www.whereinthepark.com/waltzaptpodcast to get 10% off your order. A portion of the sale will also go to support the Waltz Apartment podcast. Want $10 off your order instead? Visit patreon.com/waltzaptpodcast to become a lamplighter. With so much more to discover, the only question is, do you know where in the park?
So with that intro, we get into the topic of the evening. What brings us to this special occasion tonight? And that is the shareholders call that took place on April 3rd. Not a quarterly call, a shareholder call, which brought out a whole bunch of context in this show or in that call. And we are going to break them all down into three. Well, technically four different segments, but the first one's real minor. So there's technically four, but three big segments. But to give you an example of how the call went, we are going to share the topics, and each guest here today is going to talk and share their feelings uninterrupted for roughly 2 or 3 minutes. You don't got to use the whole time, but uninterrupted, which means Sam can gripe all she wants. Sean can do it. David, me, Amanda, Kevin, all of us can say and what we want, how we feel that entire time uninterrupted. After everyone shares, we'll bring it back and kind of break it all down for a quick minute. But to give you guys a recap of our topics, the three big portions are, what do we take away from the proxy portion of the call? Was the first third of the call, the investors, the shareholders sharing why they think this and that of the call or of the company, I should say. The second big topic is feedback on announcements of upcoming projects within the Disney company. So obviously Iger shared some in the beginning, and then he had a pre-recorded video of stuff after the initial beef and potatoes of the call. And then closing it out is, how do we feel about Iger after this call? Because obviously he said some things that he really doesn't normally say in the tone that he said them. But going around the table, we're going to start off with our first topic, overall thoughts of the call overall. Let's start with Sean. Sean, overall thoughts of the call. What'd you think?
Well, it was okay. I thought the whole vote thing was, we all knew it was going to happen. Anyone that thought
it was weird.
Anyone that thought something differently, that something could be different. I mean, like Louis said, our chat, I've muted our chat twice in the time that I've been part of this. And that was one day. It's like, but it was,
I mute y'all all the time. Don't feel
it was
bad.
Okay. I mean, the vote was what I thought it was going to be. And I understand it created all this. Oh, what could happen? What could happen? I didn't really pay attention to even who this guy really was, because I knew that there's no way in hell that this was going to happen. the announcements were okay. Are we going through all the whole thing, or just?
Right now, it's just your overall thoughts of the call.
It was okay. It wasn't really. I will say, and we'll talk about. I am a Iger. I think Iger does a decent job, but I really appreciate some of the stuff he said in this call, and the way he handled a few things I thought was really good. It was okay. It wasn't like this, oh my God, this is crazy. It did what it was supposed to do, which was tell the shareholders, hey, keep investing your money into us, because here's what's coming and here's what we're doing to make you more money. So if that was the point of the call, I think they did what they needed to do. And I think they made a very, I know David and Lewis, you both have stocks. I don't know if Kevin and Amanda do, but I think if you're a shareholder, you probably came away from that feeling pretty okay. Like, okay, I have my money invested in a pretty decent place, because I think they're going to do some things. They're going to, I don't know. I think what the Disneyland Forward thing and the $60 billion over the next 10 years, that's good stuff. That's what shareholders want to hear, is that kind of stuff. And I think, but that's what these are catered for, is they're designed to hit those marks just so the shareholders come away feeling excited. I see David shaking his head yes down there. So, I mean, but yeah, that's okay. I'm not a shareholder. If I was shareholder, I'd probably have been a lot more. I was hoping to hear more. I was pretty cool seeing the pick. How much time do I have? Because I can continue to ramble if you like.
You're good. You're good. We're going to break it all down, so don't worry. You're good.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I thought it was decent. It wasn't one of the worst calls I've heard. Let's put it that way. So.
All right. David, shaking your head, what's your thoughts overall of the call?
The call overall, I got what I wanted. I got what I needed, and I got what I expected from that call. I absolutely wanted pushback in the strongest way possible from this activist investor, Nelson Peltz. The first quarter is what I needed from Disney. It made a whole bunch of people who were rocking with Disney when we're in the double digits. Now that we're back in the triple digits and climbing and doing well this first quarter, I definitely needed to see that because that also helped with what I wanted. And what, you know, what he said on the call and the projection for the future and everything else was just right. I think to get 94% of your investors to support the direction that you're going in and stuff is huge for any corporation and stuff. So I'm happy. I'm pleased as punch. So that's what I'll say to that. Super glad Peltz lost.
All right, throw it over to Sam. Sam, overall thoughts of the call?
Overall thoughts of the call was that it was pretty uneventful. There was nothing that made me go, oh my gosh. Again, the vote was weird. For me, the whole like announcement of the vote at the beginning and the whole thing happening over the span of the call was a weird thing for me to listen to, per se. Also, do not disagree that I am glad that Peltz lost. But there was nothing really that was said that was shocking to me, or nothing that was overly exciting. It was just all right, here's an investor call. We're moving in the right direction. I had no extreme negatives. I had nothing that was like overtly positive. It was just, it was meh.
All right. Kevin and Amanda, what overall thoughts of the call?
I mean, it was fine. I mean, as I do have a few shares, not, I don't have a lot of stock in Disney, but I have enough to like be listening to what they say. I love Bob Iger's charisma. I like his confidence when he talks. I like that he had passion and sounded a little angry that people were asking him questions that he's tired of hearing. But
that was my favorite part. I completely agree with you.
Like, I didn't love his response to the what are we doing about Epic Universe being parks people.
Oh, we'll talk later.
I appreciate a little bit of feral energy coming from any executive. Oh. Because sometimes these reporters get annoying as hell.
Yeah, I like the robot that was asking the questions. That was fun. Like, they just, lack of emotion to
it's,
have a
it's
word.
Irritating. It's yeah. irritating, though, as somebody who like loves media and journalism. It's irritating.
Well, and so this is just a for my two cents on it. This is my second call that I've listened to, just period. So coming from somebody new, right? So from a new place. The last one that I listened to, it had the people asking the questions, and this time it had the robot. I cannot stand when it says, okay, you can ask one question and they sneak in two. Can't stand that. you were told one question. So I like how they were able to like steer that of, we're going to ask the one question. I agree with, you know, the things that have been said already. Kind of already knew. My big like moment was actually when they showed Toy Story Fun Day Football. I don't know why, but that just really made me happy. And like anytime we get Toy Story and Forky and just that whole crew, I'm down. So I don't know why, but that made me particularly happy, and to have that right in the middle was great. The proxy part at the beginning, I wanted to pull my hair out. I could not wait for that to be over.
Yeah, it was rough. Yes.
I understand why it exists. I get that. But at the same time, I just could not wait for that to be over. So when it was, that's when I was really involved and invested in listening to what everyone had to say. In terms of the questions that were asked, I think that the answer of staying out of politics was kind of skirted around a little bit more than I would have liked, but I get why he took the stance.
Yeah, that's what he did. Bob Iger. I'm telling you. He's charismatic.
Yeah. And I liked at the end the question about Taylor Swift. Like, yeah. Like nothing more than to continue the relationship. Like, of course you would. Of course you would. So, yeah, I thought it was a good call, though. Nice. But again, I'm new.
To David's point, it was a good call.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the call. I enjoyed particularly the proxy part of it. And the reason being, and I'm going to get a lot of hate on this. I like that Disney. I like that Disney got called out. I'm not one to say Disney's pushing agenda. I'm not one to say Disney's going woke. But at the same time, I will say this, and I'll say it until they change it. I mean, stories have become very one-sided. I mean, we cannot tell a traditional story of any shape, size, color, anything like that anymore without getting some type of hate on it. And for me, it's like, hey, obviously, if this is about the investments, the shareholders, stuff like that, a lot of money's not being returned on things like the box office, the merch, stuff like that, and outside of the park. So at that point, hey, are you going to change up something? Till this day, I won't say Disney's pushing an agenda. I don't think so. I go back to movies like Oliver and Company, where they had a kid get kidnapped. So if you want to say they're pushing stories or agendas, I mean, go back to the early movies. It's always been something in there that makes somebody uncomfortable. But right now, with all these different approaches, they are lacking the storytelling in a lot of these movies and tripping over their own feet within the films and the storytelling. Whether it's for a purpose or not, right now, a lot of movies you're watching are borderline boring because you don't know what's really going on, or you can almost sense that they're afraid to touch any which thing because they don't know how anybody's going to react to it. I mean, I just rewatched Wish with my daughter for like the 10th time. And I'm like, really, what is this about? I mean, like, there's nothing good in this movie. And it just seems like a very cookie cutter dry movie because Disney's afraid of doing anything now. So I like the proxy part. And everybody was saying in our chat, it was Sherry. People were saying, oh, a lot of like phobia of LGBTQ. I don't think so. These people are shareholders and have a investment of ROI. They want that return. If one thing's not, well, they don't care what color you are. They only care about green. So if you're not returning that green, then hey, how are we going to change this? So for me, I liked the first half. I'm not saying Disney needs to change anything, but at the same time, I really liked that it was a free forum to say however you want it, whatever you want it. And we kind of ask ourselves at one point, like, what's working and what's not? Whatever that may be in the middle is up to whoever wants to say it, but what is really working and what's really not? And what are we acting like's working and what are we acting like isn't? So for me, the proxy part I really liked. The overall, I didn't get to hear the second half of it because the way it was presented in the call, I had to watch it later on when Sean told me, no, it's still going. Like, what? Our chat said it was over. The announcement made it seem like it's over. Like, I have no more stream here on my work. So, unfortunately, I had to come back days later to watch the pre-recorded stuff and stuff like that. I really liked that portion. I thought that was equally as strong and aggressive as the first half of the call, of the proxy call. So, for me, overall, I enjoyed sitting in the shareholder call way more than the quarterly calls because it was gloves off on both ends. Whether you're Disney or not Disney, like, they came in both hungry for blood on both sides. And to Iger, I really agree with Kevin said, charismatic and kept going. So for me, I enjoyed the call because nobody on either side held back and protected their own in more or less words. So that's my thought of the call. So everyone's initial thoughts on people's comments within here. I mean, hey, I'm an open book. You guys call me out if you guys aren't happy or are happy, or if I worded things wrong, I'm known for that. But thoughts on that part thus far?
No, you're fine. I'll say this. Look, while this was a good call, I expected everything the way it was happening. It also kind of shows that Disney is not on a wrong track here. And the fact that you know, whether it's LGBTQIA or race or any of that stuff, that stuff matters. It matters a lot because it moves stock, it moves businesses and all that stuff. It just does. We want to pretend like we can look through the world with these glasses where everyone's equal and every agenda is fair and all that stuff. But that's not the truth. That it's just not. And there's some ugly shit that happens that gets brought out into the media, and companies and corporations are made to suffer for it. And it sure is reflected in the stock prices and stuff. That's just how that is. It happens with Budweiser. It happens with all kinds of, it was happening with DeSantis versus Disney in Florida with that stupid ass don't say gay bill or whatever and stuff. It happens. There's going to be times you just can't kind of figure out, and you have to just stay your ground and just keep moving forward and stuff. And the result of that is we get all this bullshit about, well, Disney's going woke for what? For we have to excuse everything under the guise of being woke, like with Little Mermaid. They hired the actress because she was the best character, the best singer, the best audition they ever had and stuff. But because it's a black woman and stuff, it has to be hidden under this BS stuff that gets always tossed a grenade at Disney and stuff as if it's like some specific written down agenda. Like, hey, people are like, hey, I want to create this thing and I want to put this message in, and versus I just want to reflect what the world is today. And the thing is, 1950, 1960 Disneyland does not exist today. It doesn't. There's no space for it, and we need to evolve, and we are evolving. So I will always argue the counter to the anti-woke bullshit fantasy made-up crowd that's trying to pretend like there's a real life, someone's writing notes, creating content specific to this versus just doing shit that reflects the current state of the world. So sorry, there's my little rant, and that's nothing against you at all, Lewis. You know,
oh, absolutely.
But just overall, it gets old and stale, and I'm glad we're just continuing going forward and just keep making movies. Hit or miss. Encanto was amazing. Wish wasn't that great. It's just the way it is. No one's going to hit home run after home run after home run. You have to hit a few foul balls or get on base, make a little bit of money or lose some because you're going forward. So there's my piece.
That same blueprint, though, that's why in the chat and to give a little inside scoop of the chat, when I said people do real homework, I think social media makes us – social media was a big factor on why people were not liking Pelts, okay? If you really didn't know nothing about him, he's pitching things that, for the most part, majority of people are asking from Disney. He's wanting to, quote-unquote, restore the magic that people say is not there. I mean, surface level, he sells pitching us to what we want to hear. But let's be honest. A good 50% of social media didn't want him in there because he doesn't look like your traditional CEO. I'll say it plain and clear. There are a lot of people that just didn't want him on there because your favorite YouTuber was telling you you don't want him on there. Oh, he looks like the bad CEO. You put him next to Pretty Boy Iger, and he looks like your authentic cookie-cutter villain. Let's be honest. Those that aren't reading or doing homework, I was having a conversation with David. Is Peltz a really a bad guy, or is he just a player that is jumping on teams that are doing great, taking a little credit, and running with that rap sheet? I mean, for those that aren't reading up on him, yes, he's probably not the ideal person. But is he not the ideal person because you read about it, or your favorite YouTuber says Peltz is a bad guy, so vote no on Peltz? And kind of what Dave was saying about, you know, people acting like things aren't real. People are acting like they know about people, and they're not doing the homework. They're just saying it because their favorite YouTuber told you Peltz is a bad guy. I mean, we won't ever know what he would have done or not done for Disney now. Nobody believed in Iger when he was brought in from ABC, and look what he's done. I mean, listen to his book. Eisner himself appointed him, but then was also questionable about it. Yes, Peltz probably made a handful of mistakes or just bad decisions to certain people, but unless you're going in reading about that, do you really know? So therefore, going in and not painting a lens through these special goggles, and for the vote on Peltz or Iger, which it wasn't really Peltz or Iger, it was just Peltz to be on the board. And again, people were rewording that. If you're watching these special goggles called social media, are you really watching it, or are people telling you what to watch? So that's another thing, going back to like the agenda part. What is the agenda? And when it comes to Peltz and Iger. And I think that was one of the things that really just drove me nuts on this entire thing. Everybody wants to talk about it, but then what are we going to talk about besides that, oh, Peltz lost? So for me, I really enjoyed that because it kind of gave you a taste of the other side. But I don't disagree with what David said. And me and David have had these chats before. It's okay to share your opinions. I'm still going to go see David up on May 4th. Absolutely. Ain't going to think anything different of anybody, but that's kind of where I stand on it, is what is social media telling us as well?
What are you grilling, David?
What's that?
What are you going to be grilling?
I'm grilling food, man. Delicious food. So I agree with that take 100%. People do need to do their own research and stuff. By choice, my investment portfolio and all that stuff, I know who Peltz is. I followed him from Coca-Cola when he tried to get to break up that company and, you know, sell off International Coke and all this other stuff. He has no good ideas. Period. Whatever people want to say about him, he really doesn't. He's good at picking winners. I mean, that's kind of why he has his own hedge fund, the Trian Group and everything else. They make money. That's what they're good at. But he doesn't have good ideas, and he believes he's like that cool kid who wants to come to the table. He has imagination. He wants so bad to just be, you know, to have a win of a direction that he conjured up in his mind to save a company and stuff. And the truth is, people are happy to have him invest in their companies and stuff, but they don't follow any of his advice because he doesn't have good ideas. They make money. Companies make money, whether it's Tyson's Food, Coca-Cola, what have you, by just ignoring him and doing what they're planning on initially doing, whether they break themselves up, sell off a part of them, grow, change strategy. None of that stuff is how, you know, Peltz wants, you know, it's from his ideas or anything else like that. He benefits from it. I mean, hell, he wanted to shift the tide with Disney, and Disney just made him a cool quarter of $1 billion just in the first quarter alone and stuff for their group and stuff, based on how much stock that they own. And he would have, whether he would have done good for Disney or not, having the seat on the board of directors, he would have been a director and he would have had some say and some pull in the direction of Disney. But his record, in my opinion, shows he would probably be a nothing burger. He's a nothing burger now as far as that's concerned. But on the directors, because he has pull and sway, and his ideas actually could kind of seep through and make some changes and stuff. I mean, this is the same guy who, from his own mouth, says, I don't get why the whole cast of Black Panther is black. Like, this isn't someone you know, just ad-libbing or kind of, you know, this is from his own mouth and stuff. I don't really see the purpose for an all-girls movie, even though I don't have anything against it and stuff, you know. Again, from his own mouth. He's an 80-year-old boomer who just had bad ideas, always is going to have bad ideas, and the time is actually passed for him. He's not going to do any favors for Disney and stuff. So, but that's not coming from me listening to a YouTuber, and I agree, people who listen to YouTubers or their interpretation of Peltz or whatever, do your actual own research so you can have valid arguments about the guy and his family and whatnot and stuff. I agree with that 100%. Whether you're for someone or against them, do a little bit more research than what's on surface level on social media.
Any other takeaways from the proxy call? Proxy portion of the call?
I mean, like I said, this was my first annual call. Like, from other annual calls, is it usually where people throw in their own personal history?
This is my first shareholders call, so I'm not sure. But the quarterly calls are nothing like this.
Right. I've heard the quarterly call, but as far as the first annual, because I was like, why are we talking about you? Like, I'm sorry, but like, why? This is about like I see what you're saying, but why do we need 10 minutes of your backstory?
And the funny part was the vote had already happened by the time this happened. The vote had already went down. So what was the point to all that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was no point because everybody knew going into that call that knew that the vote was taking place, knew Peltz had zero chance.
Well, yeah, Bob Iger was up recording at the top of Disneyland already. He already had his video, his pre-recorded video done. He was ready. He's
like, oh. That video was recorded way in advance.
I want to know where he was because I can't figure out where he was standing with the angle with the castle like at his shoulder level. Where was he?
Hey, it's green screen. That's what it is. AI.
Nah, it looks.
Hey, I want to know, you know how, like, okay, side note, a little off the rails, you know how there's Super Bowl merch printed for both teams to win? I want to know, where was it? What was his video if he lost? Like, I want to
see there's a video out there.
He's just walking around.
I'm sorry, guys. The magic against is really gone. Like, I really want to see, like, that losing video. Or Peltz's winning video. Like, can we get the director cuts? Where's Zack Snyder?
That does not exist.
So, let's get another... Oh, wow. Jeez, for a sponsor break. And we'll come back with the pixie dusty moments of the call. So we will let's get here away from Giddy Wade.
Well, hello, and welcome to Let's Get to Know Our Sponsor. Getaway Today has been helping Disney vacation dreams come true since 1990. Whether you choose to visit the happiest place on earth, or travel to Orlando and beyond, they want to help you. Need to know the best hotel in the area? What theme park ticket should you buy? Have a last minute change? No worries. Their travel experts are always here to help. Want to book a cruise and don't know where to start? Hey, they can help with that too. They will help you find the perfect cruise for your vacation, whether it is your first time or you're a well-seasoned cruiser. When you book your cruise with one of the Getaway Today's experts, you will have a dedicated agent to help you every step of the way. They take care of the details so you can have the most fun. Getaway Today has Layway, Peace of Mind Travel, allowing you to cancel or make changes up to 72 hours in advance. You will always have the most up-to-date vacation information, both pre-arrival and upon your welcome. Getaway Today will guarantee the best prices with no hidden fees. And every time you book through Getaway Today, they will donate a portion back to a charitable organization in your area. And so far, over $4.5 million has been donated. So click the link in our show notes to start your Disney vacation planning for more information and the best deals. Tell them Walt's Apartment sent you. And until next time, enjoy the view from Walt's Apartment.
All right, let's switch gears.
Real quick, just for those of you coming to Rogue Comic Con, I did get the gift certificates from Getaway today. Ooh. Over the weekend. So two $250 gift certificates will be given away in Medford, Oregon to Getaway today.
Oh, that's so cool.
Come say hi.
I'm going to try to win that.
All right.
Well, we can really try to win that too.
We're
eligible.
I don't know. It'd probably be odd, but
I'm gonna win that and use that towards like a hotel stay at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's $250. That's like two nights if you stay at some of the hotels.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna get a Motel 6 for a week.
There you go, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know if they're a Getaway Today partner. That's be a Getaway Today partner though.
I can't. I don't know. Since I turned 40 something, I can't do Motel 6 anymore.
Getaway Today is the best. All of our sponsors are the best. We're in the park. Sunken City Design. Disney's better.
We tolerate Sunken City Design.
Hey, after my opening remarks, I'm about to be sunken myself. I mean.
All right, what else you got for us there?
All right, so we're going to switch up gears. Same call. But Iger, obviously we were talking about before the little break, that he had a pre-recorded message sharing all types of upcoming projects, which I think was a 1-2 punch. But overall thoughts, uninterrupted. We'll start with Sean up in the corner. Overall thoughts about upcoming projects and Iger's kind of remarks in that video.
There wasn't really a lot that he said that hadn't been said already. It was literally like he was rehashing everything that they've already talked about. But this time he was standing on top of Disneyland, looking down on the world, saying, that's right, we won. But there was really nothing. We know that Disneyland Forward's coming. The vote is April 16th. It's going to completely change the whole way Disneyland looks if it passes. I mean, it's already two things have already passed. There's one more to go. My biggest takeaway from the pre-recorded part was, and he even caught himself. He even admitted that he's been saying that this Avatar land is coming to Disneyland Resort. And then he actually had to like pull himself back and say, I've been mentioning this. And he had to say this possible new land coming to Disneyland Resort, which I thought was because Bobby likes to just like kind of open his mouth and talk. And then they have to like rein him back in. So, but I thought it was funny that he made it very clear that it's just possible. And even right after the call, Josh D'Amaro put out a article on the Disney Parks blog saying that Disneyland Forward had to pass for that to happen. So, yeah, again, it wasn't really anything. I think the biggest takeaway was the picture of the Avatar experience or land, whatever they're going to call it. In my opinion, it was nothing that we hadn't already heard of, so in one way or the other. Talked about ESPN. Talked about we're going to try to be profitable by the end of the year for Disney Plus. Everything we've heard throughout the past year. But again, it's what the shareholders want to hear. They want to see what's coming and they want to know what's up and what. So. On that mark, did they hit exactly what he cut it? I've been watching lots of wrestling. He cut a great promo. So, he did a great promo for what he already does every day. So it was good. I thought nothing really exciting came out of it, but yeah.
All right. Kevin and Amanda, thoughts about King Iger's pre-recorded promo?
Well, what do you want to say?
Well, I was going to say I kind of teased it in my remarks before, but the Toy Story Fun Day Football, I'm all for that. But no, we were talking about it after the call, and the question that was asked of why hasn't Disney prepared anything or placed more than just a handful of attractions in the pipeline for 2025 in Disney World ahead of Epic Universe? I've had that question for some time.
I think a lot of us have.
And yeah. I'm like, what in the heck? So when that question was asked, I was like, yes. All right, here we go.
Tell us what we're going to get, Bob.
Come on, Bob. Yeah. And then he says, oh, well, not true. We've been doing stuff for a decade. We've known about this for a decade.
And we've been doing stuff since longer than that, preparing for it. Just kind of like, no, you haven't.
I have his whole response right here. I'm going to read it when we get to that part of this, because I thought he fucking killed it with that answer. That's my opinion.
I thought he was very charismatic, and I love that about him. But I think the words, though, just didn't go with the tone he had, where it was like, yeah, we did so much cool stuff over the last 10 years, and that should count. You know, it's like, it does. It's great. I love it. But you do have a park that has just as much in one place.
Yeah, and now everyone's going to be going to Epic Universe. And yes, they're probably going to be going. What do you mean they're not?
Yeah, they are.
Epic Universe is going to be huge.
Yeah, it's
going to
suck. I'm wearing an Epic Universe shirt right now.
That's great.
So hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, Ken and Amanda. David and Sam, I want to hear Sean read this speech because I feel like Kevin and Amanda are in the same mindset that I am. And I don't mean to stop you guys right now, but it sounds like we're going to jump deep into this. David or Sam, do you have anything about the pre-recorded King Iger speech?
No, I thought it was uneventful. I thought it was uneventful.
I hate that you call him King Iger. The golden boy. Let's just stick to the golden boy. He was consistent. Like Sean said, literally, it's consistency is good when it comes to investors and stuff like that. You don't want to hear anything, you know, that switched from last quarter. Now we have to amend some. We're still on track as far as we're concerned. The same goals are still in the line for ESPN to be the predominant, sports platform, our streaming service goals to be profitable by the end of this year, if not the first quarter of 2025. So, yeah, it was a consistent message. Nothing surprising as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So, Sean, if you would do us all the solid.
And wait, I didn't even get a chance.
You said it was uneventful.
I thought
you went before me.
You were uneventful. I thought he was boring.
You thought the golden boy was boring?
Mm. Oh no, heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid. Long live King Iger. All right, Sean.
Long live shut your damn mouth, Lewis.
Oh, okay. All right. I see you caught your first joke there when you went out fishing. That's great. Oh, damn.
God damn. Hey, Lewis, just so you know, I love you.
Okay.
That's a low blow. That's
a if only Disney was that aggressive at things, that'd be tight. Sean, if you want to read King Iger's opening speech, and so we can all decompose that, be tight.
Before that, cue my music.
Which one?
Hit me with my song, dude. You know, let's go. We're going to get into this because I want to hear more about Epic Universe taking over the world.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Burn it down!
All right.
Hold on. Before you read, David.
I'm going to read the question, too, that the computer asked.
Okay, David, before
I have the whole thing here. It's really long.
I need Stanley to help me out with a King Iger post. Is that his name? Stanley Kubrick? What? What? Your homie? Your Wally?
Stan Lee?
Is that his name?
What are you talking about?
Your AI homie? What'd you name him? Your AI homie?
Oh,
Stan Lee, right? Is that what you named him?
It's just Stan.
Stan. I need a King Iger picture for tonight's post.
There's no way in hell I'm doing the King Iger anything. I'll do a golden voice for you, but
all right. No. So the computer asked, because all the questions were asked by a computer, which I thought was really weird. They were pre-recorded questions, so he had time to actually think about these answers. So the computer said Iger was asked, with Epic Universe opening up in Orlando in 2025, why hasn't Disney prepared anything or placed more than just a handful of attractions in the pipeline to be ready in 2025 at Walt Disney?
Oh, let's go.
Oh, it's a great question, right? Is Epic Universe going to take over the world, right? Going to destroy Disney. Disney might as well just pack it up and go home after this. I mean,
that's not what you're saying.
Second-rate amusement park's going to take over Disney. Going to be great. Can't wait. Can't wait to see it happen.
Read his response.
Buddy, I'm telling you that Epic Universe is going to be so huge. That's not what he said. Iger said, well, thank you very much for your question, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. He gained some points with me. We've been aware Universal's plan for the new park for more than a decade, and we have a sophisticated approach to analyzing the needs of all of our businesses and strategically deploying capital. But I just want to remind you a few things of Walt Disney World Walt Disney World during the same period. Would be open Pandora, the World Avatar, in 2017. We opened, opened Pandora, World of Avatar in 2017, Toy Story Land 2018, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge 2019, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway 2020 at Hollywood Studios. And we also completed the multi-year adventure 2021 Journey of Water inspired by Moana 2023 and the great attraction Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind in 2022. And we opened Tron Life Cycle Run at Magic Kingdom. So by staggering these major launches, we have been able to commercially and operationally optimize our new offerings over time rather than happening all at once. And based on the guest experience we've heard about through all these items I just mentioned, we know they're extremely popular and they're serving our guests very well. By the way, the agreement we reached with Central Florida Tourism Oversight District last week will actually enable us to pursue the kinds of investment in our Florida parks that you're talking about. We achieved a win-win with that deal in terms of our ability to pursue future development opportunities, but also in terms of the thousands of direct to indirect jobs and economic opportunities in the state will come with our investment in the new project. So as we discussed regarding our $60 billion capital expenditures plan, there's much more coming to our parks around the world, including in Florida. Who cares?
I don't care what happened in the same time frame. You're going to tell me you have $60 billion for WDW. Like what?
Okay.
What is your answer to Epic Universe?
Amanda has spoken.
$60 billion just sitting around. What are you going to do with it? As a shareholder, I would want to know that. And we don't have the answer.
Not only that, lands don't open up overnight. So guess what? Yes, you opened up Pandora in 2017, which means you greenlit that at very earliest 2012. That was more than 10 years ago. Most of those projects pre-2019 were greenlit prior to this. They don't just happen overnight. Not only that, look at that list. And the shit got gradually less. You got lands.
Did Louis move to Indiana?
I think so.
Yeah. Louis is like your Wi-Fi, man, and he's out.
Now. Louis.
He's gone.
He's a good point.
No. You know what I took from that and stuff? I'm going to be honest. I took that. I'm leaving it in a couple of years, and I don't care. Not my problem.
Right.
I'm going to list everything that I've done, and then that's it. That's all I got. And then maybe honest, that may be true. It's not his problem.
No. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It was a political cop out statement, is what it was. And it was a little sad, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I hope it convinced enough big shareholders to stick around, you know, as a fan of the company, but. Hey, Matt Hayter, welcome back.
I don't know how I messed up on Wi-Fi. I'm hardwired in, but apparently I'm on Wi-Fi. Sorry about that.
It's because I'm here. I'm sorry. You're sharing with me. It's our Leo brain sharing Wi-Fi now.
Oh, God. I'm out.
There you go.
but I don't know who is sharing. I don't want to cut anybody off, so I'll wait.
We're agreeing with you, essentially, over here.
I'm waiting for you.
So all of these projects were greenlit prior. Not only that, they have gradually become less and less. We went from getting lands, Pandora, you know, Galaxy's Edge. We went from greenlighting lands to then rides. And then we went from rides to, hey, these are just cosmetic layovers. And then now the biggest, newest thing, a water walkthrough. Like, okay, you've known about this for 10 years. And it's progressively gotten worse. Like, you're going up against Epic Universe with your newest thing being a Moana walkthrough. That's what you're giving us? A walkthrough? Like, well, come on. The
celebration area is all new, right?
Yeah, I mean, they redid the front half of Epcot.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, retheming. I mean, hooray. Like, where's these knockout punches? Universal's doubling.
They're at Universal because that's going to be the best thing ever.
I'm not saying it's going to be the best thing ever, but right now...
It is going to be great, though.
Right now, Disney is... I mean, even in Disneyland, I mean, they gave us San Francisco. Congratulations. It's a makeover.
Where is the knockout punches? I mean, it was like it was. He cannot say they've been planning this for 10 years like that. Stop bullshitting us, Iger. Stop. Like, as investors, yes, they want to hear this, but come on, like, what are you investing in? Yes, there's $60 billion. You have a program called Imagineering, and you don't have nothing up your sleeve besides a concept art that we know damn well you're not going to keep to. Like, come on.
Iger, okay, look, here's the deal. Iger's not Disney's champion going forward. Going to
no.
And he knows that, but you can't really say that now. I know that. I mean, he's all but marking his retirement to the countdown. The new champion, that's the person who you really want to see go up against this new juggernaut that's trying to take Disney's crown. But Iger is not—he's not the guy, and I don't want to give Iger heat about it, you know. And it was a cop out ish. I mean, he did go over his playbook of what he's done, but as far as the future, I don't see how he could take, you know, like, hey, we got $60 billion and here's my plan for it, because he's not going to be here to see half or any of that to come through fruition and stuff. So he's not.
But at the same time, like, to what Lou was saying, of like, these things that were on the list were greenlit a long time ago. So what is greenlit now?
Yeah.
That the next person is going to make it come to fruition.
And that's been one of the complaints about Bob Chapek, was that he didn't greenlight anything. You know, so the fact that Bob Iger came back in and also didn't greenlight stuff is a little not helpful.
How do you know that nothing's been greenlit? D23
is didn't say anything.
You're right. I mean, we have D23 coming up.
D23 is in like 3 months. He's not going to say right now.
We're hoping that all this stuff is going to be answered in D23, but at last D23, we didn't get hardly anything. So I'm hoping
Disneyland
that we get...
and Disney's still doing great and making shit ton of money, probably way more money than Universal.
Yes. Yeah,
don't let them know that. What are you thinking?
Yes, but I'm talking about what information are we getting? Like, I'm just talking about sheer information. Yes, people are still going to go to the parks. Yes, people are going to go to Universal. Yes, people are going to go to both Epic Universe and the Disney World parks because they're 7 miles apart. I get that. But the point is what are we hearing from the executives? What information is being passed down to the shareholders? And you're saying, okay, we have all of this coming up with the thing that was happening last week for Florida, and we're able to pursue significant investments in our Florida parks.
You understand how screwed they would have been if all that would have went through and they didn't have the ability to do any of that stuff. They had to get that fixed first.
It was fixed by the time he came out with this message. Seems like he should have been like, hey, now that we've finished that, let's go on to say what we've been hiding this whole time. Because we all been bargaining chips is what it feels like. Yeah. Same with the whole Avatar Land and Disneyland. I'm pretty sure that's already designed. They're going to do it. They're just saying, hey, possibly, so that way the Anaheim board will approve the Disneyland Forward project.
Yeah.
I think regardless, they're still going to do it because they've already designed it.
And not only that, you have Imagineers working for you. You're not paying them for doing to do nothing. So just like he had this pre-recorded video to say, congratulations, I'm still here, my throne is mine. Like, he had the pre-recorded message. You don't have pre-recorded projects that you've been working on just in case, or it's like, hey, sit still. We don't have any green lights. Sit there. Let's make stick figures and be ready when we're ready. No, they're not paying their employees to sit on their ass. They're creating and doing stuff to be at the ready when needed. Well, that project came clean 2 weeks ago. And I mean, if anything, he is building a huge bar. He's setting the bar really high for himself at his own D23 here this year. Iger has set 3 big bars this year. One, Disney Plus needs to be profitable by the end of 2024. They have been saying it now for 2 quarterly calls, that they expect it to be profitable by the end of this year. That's one bar. If it's not, what happens? D23. Everyone knows, Disney fan or not, knows the last D23 was subpar. And you can jump on the COVID bandwagon. Just to remind everybody, Walt Disney World reopened 6 months after COVID began. So don't tell me Disney was asleep for 4 years. Stop saying that. It wasn't happening. So the Disney parks, all that, the D23, that needs to hit a home run because both Destination D20 whatever was whack. D23 Expo was subpar. So the parks and D23 is another bar he set for himself. But also the last and most important one that he's setting for himself is who's his next runner-up? Because guess what? I think he's creating as many problems for the next runner-up like Chapek recreated for his comeback.
I don't think so. I think there's a plan in place. They're not going to reveal anything. And I agree with Sean said. I mean, we got D23. That's the platform where you really want to make those big grand announcements and shock the world. And you can't really you don't want to lead people to their own imagination and devices and stuff. You want to paint the picture and you want to do it properly. I think D23 this year is particularly more than any is where you would do that and stuff. And maybe we get I don't think he's definitely going to be picking his own successor. The board's going to approve it and whatever that's going to look like. And we're going to find out within the next year or two and stuff. And I don't think he's setting them up for failure. I really think him not saying we're going to commit to anything is really kind of going to give this person either a blank slate to kind of step in and really kind of run with the ball and just kind of go at it. But we'll see. I think there's some cool stuff that's going to happen in D23. My expectations are a little on the higher side compared to previous ones that we've gone through.
I do not disagree. D23, the bar is set high. It has to be. Because I think if it doesn't, I mean, that's a real questionable thing. But two, if he's not greenlighting nothing now, think about this. He's not greenlighting nothing big or nothing at all or whatever the level may be. Okay, cool. We wait two more years until his successor is announced and already been groomed and ready. That's a horrible word to use for it, given the context it's used in today. Not necessarily groom in your negative way, but in a productive, mature, not aggressive way. Anyway, I think if he waits 2 years for that, then his successor starts greenlighting projects that aren't going to be hitting the pavement for another couple years. So that means Disney's kind of sitting stagnant with hotel projects, bridges, and concept art for what, the next 5 years, give or take? I mean, he's got to do something to hit the ground running because right now, what's in the pipeline that's on the outside of Avatar? Because that's the only thing. What else is coming?
What would make y'all happy?
We don't know.
Do you guys need a whole damn theme park announced to make you happy? Or
no. If we got that Disney was working harder to try to, I don't want to say working harder, but see how we're getting, for instance, the fact that we are the biggest news in Disney that we're talking about last week is Peloton Iger's proxy battle. The fact announcement than, say, talking about Avatar Land or talking about things coming to Disney parks or movies coming out, the fact that a proxy battle was the biggest news in Disney, because, yes, there are a lot of investors, but there are like three times more Disney fans that are just fans of the magic of Disney. The fact that a proxy battle was the number one news for Disney. What is that saying about the magic of Disney? That your proxy battle is the biggest story. Not that Wish came out the same day. Not that parks have Pixar Fest around the corner. Not that the summer movies are here. None of that's being talked about on a level like Peltz versus Iger.
You say that like it's okay. When has ever any issues at Universal that their stock and stuff has
I'm been, not like, asleep. Big, it's big just 11:30 like, here.
I'm listening. They're the biggest entertainment company on the planet and stuff. Mm-hmm. So much so that a proxy, like you said, a battle got front page news, got this whole kind of Rocky Balboa treatment and all this other stuff. It's because of how big and epic that this company is, and they're going to be that way for a long time coming and stuff. I mean, I think the question is you don't see that in any other media company. You don't see that at Warner Brothers. You don't see that at Universal. You don't really see that anywhere else and stuff. I don't think it's at all a negative thing saying that Disney doesn't have anything going, so that this is now the new front news. It's because Disney is the golden boy. They are the big fish to look after and look at and stuff. So anything that happens and stuff
100%.
Is big and stuff when so someone's Disney, trying to challenge Disney.
Disney's proxy wars and all that are bigger than their movies and their theme park announcements.
That's why. Proxy wars were created by the social media, everything. It was this creative thing that every all like I said in the beginning, we knew it was going to happen.
Exactly, but your social media outlets aren't giving any big praise to anything that Disney's doing on the part that they want to talk about. Again,
they don't have to. Like David said, Disney's the gold standard. Disney not responding to Universal's little theme park that they're creating, I think, is bigger than them making a response. I think they're like, we don't give a damn. It's not going to affect us. I have no use for Universal Studios. I think like I even said in the chat, they're basically Cal Naughton to Ricky Bobby. Silver's good. That's all they're ever going to be. They're never going to overcome Disney. They can keep trying. It's not going to happen. Disney's like, fuck it. We don't care.
We say that now, but kids today are more excited for Super Mario Brother Land than going to Disneyland. And I share this with you, Sean. We are in an era again where Disney is seen as a little kids park or adult YouTubers, because that's what's happening. Is many people complain about not going to the parks because it's nothing but influencers. That the fact that Universal is and other theme parks are slowly creeping up on that. Yes, right now, no. But 10 years from now, my kids will say, we have annual passes. We're not updating them because the kids don't want to go. They're like, eh. All three of my kids are ready, chomping at the bit to go see Super Mario World.
I'll rehash this old argument that I've done before, and you have to kind of – you actually conceded to this before. Kids today have no clue who made Super Mario. They mm-hmm. don't even care. But kids today knows Disney movies. They can absolutely tell you Encanto was made by Disney. Disney is a brand that is ingrained in the youth still today, just like McDonald's and stuff. Yeah. You can take 100 kids and say, hey, what studio made Super Mario Brothers? And you take another the same 100 kids and say, hey, who made Encanto?
Mm-hmm.
You already know they're not going to know who made Super Mario Brothers or any of the other stuff that universe, because they're not on Disney's level. Their stuff is ingrained. Disney's not making mistakes with how they put out product and their IPs and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's earmarked on everything that they do. So you're maybe not your kids, but kids today are still going to know that Disney is the benchmark, the gold standard.
I agree with that to a fault, because guess what? My kids, yes, they will say that's Disney versus Mario and not knowing. Correct. But as they get older, and you hear about it a lot right now, about parents not wanting to show certain movies and certain... When I was older, the key standard for a movie was a Disney movie, a Disney animated film. Today, it's not that. Today, parents are turning to things like DreamWorks and Illumination because those movies are just, here you go. Even though they got stuff in them that's probably not appropriate to some or whatever that may be. Yes, you're right. Kids today. But if they are now growing up knowing Super Mario, they grow up showing their kids that, just like my parents showed me Disneyland. Eventually, that's going to compete. And right now, I'm not saying it's 5-10 years from now, but it's really happening that it is slowly falling by the wayside and kind of going down the route of when you start touching on politics. I mean, I don't disagree with you saying kids today, but if kids today prefer Super Mario over a Disney movie, eventually, they're going to slowly grow up, start doing their homework like we are doing on a podcast, and slowly start moving away from that.
Hey, I would agree to you when they start announcing after someone wins a Super Bowl, where are you going? They say Universal or some other land.
Hey,
I get what you're saying, but it's just, I mean, it's not resonating with me that they're in danger. They're so far ahead. And I'm not saying this to be a pixie duster.
No, financials.
They are really far ahead. Yeah, they, you know, another production company had a couple billion dollar box off the successes and stuff. But Disney, even with not having billion dollar box office, they've been successful. They have the biggest world breaking franchises IPs on the planet today. Marvel, Star Wars, Avatar. I mean, it's just, and there's no slowing down on them, like introducing more stuff. Now they have more stuff to work with. They have Foxes and all of their property to work with on, as well, with universes and other IP pieces. They have ESPN and stuff. Like they could pause right now. Universal, because you brought that up, is not going to surpass Disney. They're just not. They can pause right now. They're getting next year. If Disney doesn't put out another movie, say, you know what, 2024, we're taking a break. We're not going to introduce more entertainment or anything else and stuff. Again, they're not going to be forgotten about next year and stuff. They're the Universal, the new number one, the entertainment, the king of entertainment.
You have a fair argument, but at the same time, in that same argument, it's not Disney. It's them buying things to keep them afloat. So, I mean, yes, it's still Disney, but, I mean, you look at the last 10 years of Disney, 80% of their content or 80% of their success is thanks to, hey, what we brought on board, not necessarily what we grew naturally.
Okay.
So, I mean, imagine 10 years from now, Disney buys Universal. And they bank on that. If they buy Universal, right, and all of a sudden they start banking off that, is that saying that's still kudos to Disney? Or no, we're buying you because you're the bigger threat. If anything, that's Iger's reign. Hey, you have a lot of potential. We are going to own you. So we, if anything, ironically, full circle, Disney is doing kind of what Peltz was. We're Joe Peltz. Hey, you're doing really good. We're going to buy you. So you're with us. And we're going to take that credit.
That's also why I'm trying to separate the company, not bring things together.
What's that?
I thought Peltz wanted to separate the company, not bring things together.
I mean,
let's be honest. But also, like, it feels like we all ignore the fable of the tortoise and the hare. Like, you're describing it like 100% with the whole plot. Like, yeah, you don't have to worry about the tortoise, guys. We're the hare. We're on Team Hare 100%. The tortoise isn't a threat. Why are you even worried about it? But you know how that story goes. Obviously, if you ignore the threat, it's going to pass you.
I'm not saying we are ignoring Universal and stuff. I'm just saying it is not – people gas up Universal or just anyone that's coming for Disney as if they're – it's another – I agree with you on the terms of hair. You can't just say ignore them completely and stuff, but they're not another hair. This isn't a match-for-match race and stuff. The new theme parks that are coming aren't going to just start eating the biggest pieces of the pie – for amusement parks from Disney and stuff. They're not just going to – it doesn't work that quick and fast. And the reason why I say that is because Disney is not – I say they can stop, but they're not stopping. You know that. They're still going to be doing stuff because they haven't revealed stuff to us. Doesn't mean they don't have not greenlit, but projects are ready to go, are waiting for the next CEO. I guarantee you there's a short list for Iger's replacement already – in the hopper, ready to be announced publicly and stuff. And there's this new plan and stuff in place and stuff. It makes sense for a multi-billion-dollar corporation to have stuff like that we may not know. I don't think we're so not paying attention to the tortoise and stuff, but they're not the hare. They're not keeping up with us and stuff. And
you're ignoring the fact that a lot of Universal Creative is Imagineers who've hopped ship over to them.
Okay.
So, I mean, Universal is taking on the creatives from Disney. Disney has lost talent to Universal. This is why we're saying, hey, you guys should probably be aware of this juggernaut that's not just a tortoise. Have something planned for it.
And I'm really hoping, to your point, that they do have a lot up their sleeve that they just haven't announced yet. And I am cautiously optimistic for 2025. Once Epic Universe opens again, I think that people are going to be planning their trips with Getaway Today and having a bulk package of Epic Universe and the two Universal parks and having Disney World experiences at the same time, and you can get our game packs to go along with those parks.
Absolutely.
And have an extended period of time at the Orlando resorts, right?
If you watch, we can get you some stickers created from Sunken State Design to put on your phone.
We sure can.
Yeah.
We sure can.
Yes.
I mean, but
anyone else we need to hit?
But 2025 is going to be really interesting, is all I'm saying.
It's going to be interesting. And I don't know. I remember, okay, so David will remember this. And they announced Epic Universe when me and David were part of the DCAST. I put a post on the DCAST Instagram, said, doesn't look that epic to me. Literally, Universal Studios found it and reported it and had it taken down because they were.
Oh, like, I forgot about that.
They were so butthurt that someone made a comment about them that was negative when they're the ones that poke all this fun on their Twitter now, like at Disney, like with the churro thing. Disney doesn't do that shit. Disney's like, this is cute. And they just pat them on the head. Do what you got to do. We're going to be just fine. And that's what's going to happen about this whole thing. It's not a tortoise and the hare thing, like David said. Disney's the gold standard. You can't touch them. It may affect it a little bit. I mean, is it going to affect it to where it's like, oh, shit, we got to create a new theme park? No, I don't think so.
Okay. So then I'm going to throw this question out. So the D23 is around the corner.
Okay.
With obviously Epic Universe going vertical, really coming together.
Jim, hang on a second. Jim, you're wrong. That's all I'm going to say.
I would have just left that alone, man. I mean, now everyone in the comments is like, what the heck? So
Disney's a woke organization, therefore we'll go broke. No fucking chance. I'm sorry. So I disagree with you, sir. Go ahead.
With this, then, with all this being said, what happens if we get a very similar?
What? Oh, you're good.
What happens if we get a very similar or worse D23 like we did 2 years ago? Because I would assume right now this D23 is at the forefront. Like, you need, this is your, because if not, what, 2 more years until you have an, I don't want to say the opportunity, you create those. But I'm curious, like, what do you do if D23 is a bust this year? If it is, not saying that it is or isn't, but if we find out that we got a bunch of, we're gonna invest $60 million or $1 billion into this, and it's a bunch of what ifs. And I get people getting mad at me about saying that. I get it. But right now, Disney, you're not giving me a lot of confidence to support you otherwise, besides that you're Disney. Okay, I'll give you that. But if D23 is a bust this year, what do we say about that?
We say, Disney, what are you doing? Yeah, very right to question. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have faith in something that you like, but it's also not a bad thing to question it too when things come out and it's like, what's going on here and stuff. I think we're all at different paths about questioning what's going on with Disney and stuff. Some people are earlier and they see, because they have a little more intimate relationship with Disney, so they see the sign a little earlier. You know, they're like, oh, I'm seeing telltale signs that I need to start questioning Disney. Others, it's like, I'm waiting for the big event. And if it's a disappointing flop, I won't have a problem being on here again saying, all right, Disney, what's going on? I have faith that you're going to be revealing some cool stuff, because that's the perfect platform to do it. Nothing's really kind of happening about the future and wherever else. What's going on? And I think that's fair.
I agree with Kim's comment as well. I think D23 will have something because there wasn't too much negativity from the last one. I agree. They're going to have some stuff. But my question is no matter what Disney says at this point, will it be good enough for some people?
Yeah.
No, I think if they don't announce something big right now at D23, whatever they announce the next D23 will seem like it's all 100% reaction to Universal instead of being on the offense like they should be.
I completely agree with you there. I do think they will announce something big. I don't think they're going to announce a whole new theme park. I mean, they could. I mean, they have the space. They have, you know,
take care of the parks they have.
Maybe they can maybe they can elaborate on all the stuff they blue skied the last one. Maybe they can elaborate on Villains Land Behind, which if you follow some certain news outlets, there's been permits requested for that area now. So, I mean, there are things that I think Disneyland Forward will be a huge focus at D23 because it's in Anaheim for one. If this vote passes in a week, it will be the focus, I think, of D23, because that's the next 40 years of planning for Disneyland.
It's a long time.
I mean, it's crazy. So,
I think overall, I mean, again, for those that are still watching, I'm not hating on Disney, just being real and sharing that. I think there's a lot riding on D23. I think there's a lot riding on Iger. But at the same time, too, there's a lot riding on Universal. Like, hey, you guys are putting up, like, is it long-term or is it short-term?
How much did that park cost? Did anyone know?
Epic Universe?
How much did it cost? What they said?
I don't think anything's official come out, especially because they're not done.
They're not done yet. Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I just hope that D23 shows a lot of what's going on here in the States, because they tend to throw a few little plugs of what's coming on overseas. And it's like, that's cool. But what's happening here? They got a land. We got a hotel. It's not really the same.
Remember, D23.
I know. They...
Disney is not just a theme park company. There's so much more to this company than just theme parks.
Oh, absolutely. But D23.
I know that's a big focus for all of us, because that's what we all love. Except David loves Marvel. So, and that's totally, you know, David would move Avengers Campus into Cars Land if he could, right?
David, I can't wait for you to go to the parks someday. It's going to be so nice.
Can we all please go with you?
Kevin.
You got to bring this guy.
Please. It would be a great Mouse Dudes episode, and all of us could be there. I can show you how great the parks are.
All right. Great Land Cars Land is.
And then while you're there, then you could be, we could hop over to Imagine That, and then you can while you're
in the Cars Land, like it's not bad.
No, it's not a parking lot. You're thinking of parking lots in Portland. No, we're talking about Cars Land at California Adventure.
No, it would be so great because you could be in the middle of Cars Land and then reimagine right then and there how you would reimagine the space. Yeah, I think it would be a fantastic experience for everyone involved. I'm 100% serious.
Like, I can imagine that 8-foot tall blue Smurf walk by, and there's a pterodactyl. Yeah,
man,
well, I'm there for it. I will take a second or third look at DCA and Disneyland and stuff. I'm happy to do that and do it as a group. So
yes,
well. With that, I mean, we've had a pretty good show where we ran over our time. For those of you still watching, you get to join us back here this Monday for a regularly scheduled program for a real good show. Be on the lookout for all things.
What else are we going to talk about?
I'll figure out something. I mean, because of course, like as always, I mean, we should have some stuff to talk about. And if not,